If you have your Bibles, we are in the just the latter part of the third chapter of Galatians. We're actually studying the book of James. But after a period of time, I thought, we need to go back and look at some fundamental truths. And then with those fundamental truths, understand, we do not have X number of writers of the scriptures. Yes, there were X number of men that wrote or actually penned the scriptures. But all scripture was given how? By inspiration of God. What does that mean? God breathed out his word and the men wrote what God gave them to write. Do we see their personalities, their personal experiences in what they wrote? Yes. God used their personalities. God used their personal experiences. God used all of those things, just like when I preach, I express my personality. When Eric preaches, he expresses his personality. But there's no difference in the message that he preaches and the message that I preach. And that's an important understanding, because we serve the Lord. We do not serve ourselves. And it's not about, trying to outdo one another. That's the world. What we're trying to do is put forth the Word of God so that each one of us can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things that we've been emphasizing is the immutability of God. What does that mean? That's a fancy theological term, which means God does not change. He's the same, as Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and for what period of time? Forever. He is the eternal God. And in John 1:1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was whom? The Word was God. Or the word was who, I should say, if you use the verb to be, it takes the same case before as after. So who was the Word? The Word was Jesus Christ. Who is God? Jesus Christ. But yet we have a Father, we have a Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. Three different ministries by this, our triune God. And in addition to being immutable, he is omniscient. That means he knows everything, past, present, future. Things that haven't happened yet have been known to God for all eternity. And that's important for us to understand. When we understand these basic principles, and any doctrine class or any theology class teaches you the person of God in the first week of your studies of theology or of doctrine. And then it seems like that after that, they go off to their pet doctrines and teach anything, everything, and nothing. But we can't teach that way. We have to, if you understand that, and the Scripture says this, all Scripture was given how? By inspiration of God. What does that mean? God caused holy men of old to write as they were moved or borne along by the Holy Spirit. So the individual chooses their personalities, they pen the books, but the words are God's. And once we understand that, we understand since God is immutable, he doesn't change, and God is omniscient, he can't forget what he said yesterday. God is eternally in the present tense. That's something that's impossible for us to understand. Now, the world thinks of God as someone that has existed for so long that he must be an old doddering fool. And it's blasphemy for the people to think that way about God. God is eternal. Jesus made us a promise. He said, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How old was our Lord when he died? 33 years of age. What is the prime of life? Really, it's your 30s. During your 30s, women are at their prettiest. men, you know, are beginning to mature a little bit to get past that geeky stage of growing up, you know, in their teens and early 20s, and they begin to put on just a little bit of weight, and they begin to be men, you know. And so what are we going to be for eternity? We're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is an age, you know. So if we can take that literally, and I think we can, we're going to be in the prime of life for all eternity. The one difference is when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That doesn't mean all of us are going to look the same, but it means we're all going to be in the prime of life. And our life is not going to be sustained by blood. There won't be a sin nature. Therefore, there won't be any aging. So we will exist forever in the presence of our Lord without a sin nature, without any propensity to sin whatsoever. And when you think about that, that's pretty amazing. So as we're studying Scripture, can God, for example, there is a theory that was taught and was widely received, but if you think about it, that particular theory is blasphemy. The theory is that James wrote early, before Paul's gospel. Now think about this statement, before God's or Paul's gospel of salvation by grace through faith could be fully developed. Well, what's wrong with that theory? It doesn't allow for the fact that everything that Paul wrote, he wrote under the inspiration of God. And yes, we do grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't understand everything all at first. But there is no salvation in the law per se. The law was a schoolmaster, and we read that in Galatians 3. A schoolmaster for what purpose? To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified, how? By faith. And then the Scripture tells us very clearly, and the law is not of faith. Now, if we think about the eternality of God, there were 2,500 years of human history before there was, in which period of time, there was only one law, and it couldn't be broken by anybody because no one had access to the Garden of Eden but Adam and Eve. What was the tree? The commandment? Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Who were the only two people that could break that commandment? Eve was deceived into breaking it, and Adam broke it willfully. And therefore, Adam's a type of Christ in the fifth chapter of Romans. Let's turn there for just a moment. Romans chapter 5. As we mentioned these things, where it tells us in beginning at verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, not sin, but the sin, the sin of Adam, entered into the world, and the death, both spiritual and physical, by what? What was it that caused the death of Adam and Eve? Adam lived 930 years, but he died immediately spiritually and had to be put out of the garden. So that sin was caused by what? Eve being deceived and giving of the fruit to her husband, and Adam was not deceived, so he knew the consequences. So therefore, Adam's a type of Christ, which this text tells us. And so death passed upon all men, for that all not have sinned. See, the translators recognize that when you're born into this world, then you sin. So at a point in time, you're going to sin. But it's not in the perfect tense, it's in the past tense. So what does it mean? It means when Adam sinned, you sinned. We're all counted to have committed Adam's sin. Well, somebody says, that's not fair. I'm being charged for something I didn't do. Yeah. There's an old story about a blacksmith who, every time he'd hit the anvil, he had a piece of metal on the anvil, he'd say, oh, and some epithet of some sort. Yeah. Oh, he'd bang it, hit it again. finally one day his boss said to him, "Why do you curse every time you strike the animal?" "Well, if it wasn't for Adam," I think he was saying, "Oh, Adam." Yeah. And bang in the middle. And he said, "Well, if it wasn't for Adam, I wouldn't have to work." And so the boss said, "Fine, you don't have to work. Go into my office. You can do anything you want in that office. Only there's a little cedar box on my office desk. Whatever you do, never open that little cedar box." Okay. So it went on for a period of time. Finally, one day, the man's curiosity got so great, he opened the box and said, "Get back to work, you lazy bum. If you'd have been there, you'd have done the same thing." And that's the absolute truth. It may be a corny story, but it's true. See, that any one of us put in the same position that Adam was put in would have done the same thing. And any woman, and this is why women are not to preach. It's not because women are smart. It isn't because some women actually are spiritually stronger than their husbands because they've been saved and they've studied and so forth. But a woman, by God's decree, because Eve was deceived, the woman is in subjection to the man. Now, today we see a lot of rebellion against that concept. Now, if a man really loves a woman, he's not going to abuse her. So, and say, "Do what I say because I'm a man," you know. No, he loves her. And he'll do anything for her. And in fact, if he has the love that Adam had, has the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has, he would jeopardize his own life if his wife's life were in danger. That is, if he loves as he should love. Yeah. Now, a lot of men don't love like that. A lot of men are selfish and only care for themselves and would not die for their wives. But we as believers in Jesus Christ are to love our wives. How? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay. So if you think about that, I'm a lousy swimmer. And I guess because all my life, you don't see it now because I've got a pot belly and I'm 87. We'll be 87 years old next month. I start going to the new age before I reach it. That way people say, "He looks good for his age." But yeah, I'll be 87 the 22nd of next month. And I never thought I would live this long, but I have. My dad died at 44. My mother died just a few days short of her, or a few weeks short of her 97th birthday. So we've got longevity on both sides of the family. But I never expected to live this long, given my medical history and given the fact that I'm a little bit... I guess you put it this way, I don't have any intrinsic fears. I went skiing, I went, taught myself how to ski, taught myself how to do this, taught myself how to do that. When I was a kid, they called me Pee Wee, so I wasn't very big, but I thought I was 10 feet tall. Kind of like my grandson, AJ. I think he's had 3 brain concussions. I only had 1. The doctor says no more football. Because in those days, you could take a football helmet and literally crush it in your hand. And I think it was safer playing with that type of helmet because we didn't have nearly as many head injuries in those days as we have now. When you put a man's head inside a hard shell, and they come up and butt one another like billy goats, that's bloody stupid. Because if you know anything about the brain, and if you ever watched that movie, I forgot what it's called, or a television show, I forgot what it's called, but it has to do with how they do things in the movies and so forth. And on that show, they took a bowl of jello, and put it inside a cylindrical container. And then they took a bottle. They were trying to prove whether a broken bottle or an unbroken bottle could damage the brain more than one more than the other. Now, a broken bottle obviously can cause superficial cuts, but the whole bottle is more dangerous because it has more mass, and when you hit that, the brain goes, the jello goes, by inertia, it's driven up to the side of the shell that it's in, and that's what causes a concussion. So if they'd make a helmet softer, so it wasn't given, if you want, you can take my idea if you want it and develop it and then become a billionaire. But they would have less head injuries if the helmet wasn't so hard. If it would give, you know, obviously you got a little foam inside and it gives a little bit, but you know, it gives you a false sense of security because you've got a shell around your head. Yeah. Well, let me get back to what I'm teaching here. For until the law, verse 13, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Okay, so for 200 or 2,500 years, there was no law. And the people that lived during that era couldn't commit the sin that Adam and Eve committed because they were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they didn't have access to it. So they couldn't eat of it. So they were charged with Adam's sin. And you say, well, that's bloody rude. How can I be charged with a sin I didn't commit? Well, if you can be charged with Adam's sin, you can also be charged with Christ's righteousness. It's God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ, and God is, you know, He's perfect. So He has a plan that's perfect. So if we can be charged with Adam's sin, we can be charged with Christ's righteousness. Now, nevertheless, death reigned, that is the death, both physical and spiritual, reigned upon Adam, or from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not committed, had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. And then notice what it says of Adam, who is a figure of him that was to come. Who is the one to come? Christ. Adam is a type of Christ in that he stood in his wife's stead, he bore her judgment. And because he bore her judgment, he passed her judgment on to his race by progeneration. And so we're all born dead in trespasses and sin. So when we go back to Galatians, we learn a very important principle. And I'm going to back up just a little bit. You know, Peter came to Antioch. And he was eating and drinking with the Gentiles. They were having a good time. And then when certain Judaizers came along, all of a sudden he felt peer pressure and he separated himself. It was perfectly legal for Peter to eat and drink with the Gentiles. But then when he played the hypocrite, Paul rebuked him. And as he ends that rebuke in verse 26 of the third chapter of Galatians, he says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." That is, every one of us, whether we're Jews or whether we're Gentiles, we are the children of God. What makes us children of God? God makes us children of God. He quickens the Word of God to our hearts and minds so that we might believe. And when we believe, then He gives it to us eternal life, and we shall never perish. For as many of you as have been baptized has nothing to do with water baptism. And because the Roman Church didn't understand it, they think that baptism saves. And the Episcopal Church that came from the Roman Church believes the same thing. And virtually most of the churches under the canopy of Christianity teach that baptism saves. Yeah. In fact, the Church of Christ teaches that if you are saved in the morning, you hear the gospel preached, and your mind's changed, you know that Christ died for your sins, But they have the baptism in the evening service, and if you're in a car accident in the afternoon and are killed, you go to hell. That's what the Church of Christ teaches, because they believe that somehow or other, whether you baptize by sprinkling water or dipping a lily in water and putting it on a baby's head, or whether you're immersed, you know, and actually immersion is the right mode, because it shows outwardly what took place inwardly. We are counted to have died with Christ. Well, what do you do with a body that's dead? You bury it. So when you plunge it under the water, it's buried. We can't live underwater. See? So we're in the place of death. And then we're brought up out of the water to walk in newness of life. And what is the newness of life? The just shall live by faith. And the scripture says very clearly, and the law is not of faith. So what is this nonsense? And they use the book of James to do it, because James is comparing the faith of unsaved Jews who were scattered into the Gentile nations of the world. And why were they scattered? Because they sinned against God. And so they were driven out of the land. So the prima facie evidence says that James, who wrote to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, was not writing to Christian Jews. He was writing to unsaved Jews. And when we get into the book, and we've gone already 3.5 chapters into the book, and then I decided that we need to lay some ground. You know, we have to know who God is. And when I speak of the immutability of God, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When I speak of the omniscience of God, God knows everything, past, present, future, as if it's happening right now. So it's a present tense knowledge always for God. There's no past and there's no future. You know, yet, you know, we operate in time and space, and so God uses what is called anthropomorphic language. Anthropos in Greek is man. So the you know, when you morph something, you change one thing into another, and we're talking about God as if he were a man. And of course he did take a body in Jesus Christ, but we live in terms of time and space, and God does not. God is immutable. He doesn't change. God is omniscient. He knows everything, the past from the present, from the future. You know, he's omnipotent. He can do anything that is consistent with his will. When I was in college, and there are some pretty stupid kids that go to Bible college. They have zeal, but not according to knowledge. And the reason they go to Bible college is because preachers have the idea that we have to make other preachers. Well, that's God's business. I never spoke to Eric ever about becoming a preacher. You know, his grandmother once mentioned to me that he's got a pretty good handle on things. You know, and I said, that's great. You know? And so at the point in time when I knew that he was called of God, the church bought him a... He doesn't have as many volumes as I think I've got 12 volumes of Schaeffer's Systematic Theology. When they reprinted it, they made it fewer volumes. But he's got the same systematic theology I have, which is, I think, 12 or 13 volumes. It takes up about that much space on the bookshelf. There's a lot of information in there. And when I gave it to him, because I couldn't recommend a Bible college for him to go to. They all do the same thing. They're always trying to make people into good little preacher boys that don't sin. How does that fit with the scriptures? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So you are producing a bunch of liars, people that pretend to be something that they're not. If you're going to really preach the truth of the Word of God, you got to know what you are, you know. And You know, it's real easy when you get as old as I am to get aroused about anything. But that wasn't always so, you know. And it's just a change in the body. The testosterone, I don't know what happened to it. It went away. You know. But young men have an extreme desire for the opposite sex. And some, to the extent, it depends on how much testosterone. There's some that have got more female hormones than male hormones. And what do the dumb doctors do? They give them female hormones. I just saw a race the other day on TV, and they've got one of these transgender guys racing a bunch of girls, and he's 5 yards ahead of them. Now, he's getting all of the medals. Now, I thought we were, trying to have some sort of equality. But when you let a man who says, I'm a woman, well, you've got the equipment of a man, you know. Therefore, just because you want to put on dresses and play with dolls, that doesn't make you a woman. You know. You need a little testosterone to bring out the manly side of you rather than you may have too much progesterone. And that's a matter, But the doctors always want to pander to what they want to be. I want to be a girl. Because if I go to the Olympic Games and compete against other girls, I'm going to get all the gold medals. And man's all about ego. And they call that, somehow or other, you have to recognize, and not call them perverts, Well, I don't care how man gets his sexual jollies, but if you want to know what he is, as soon as he comes out of the womb, if he's got a penis, he's a boy. If he's got a vagina, he's a girl. And if mama wants to dress him up in dresses for a long time, and their women are dumb enough to do that with little boys, and they pander to them being effeminate give them dolls and give them dresses and so forth and let their hair grow long, and their little boys and all the other guys say, he's kind of queer. You know, we can't use that word anymore. It just means odd. Because he's a little boy trying to be a little girl. You know. And quite frankly, I don't care what the world does, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You know. I'm not going to abuse them. I'm not going to make fun of them or anything of the sort. But men are men, and women are women, and if a man's a little bit effeminate, he needs a little more testosterone. And if a woman's a little bit manly, she needs a little more progesterone. You know. Female hormones. You know. And, of course, when women go through the change of life to stop that monthly cycle, they can have a hormone imbalance. Joanne went through it very early. And her face broke out. She always had a beautiful complexion. And, I don't mean to be so personal, but it was a tough time until finally a dermatologist figured out what was going on. And every time we moved from Springfield, Missouri, back to Southern California, and then from Southern California up here. And every time we went to a doctor, Joanne had to practically beat him with a baseball bat to get him to give her the hormones that she needed. And without them, she would have mood changes, and it was like she was going through the change of life, but she was doing it at age 30, or younger. And it was a very difficult time for her, And her moods could change instantly, She'd be happy, everything's fine, and just that quick personality change, And we figured out what was going wrong. And it's amazing. Doctors, they were passing out, what is the old tranquilizer? They were passing it out like it was candy. You know, well, she just needs to calm down a little bit. You know. And I took the same tranquilizer when they pulled a tower I was erecting. I was up 30 feet and bringing up the first guy line, and the idiot started tightening I was bringing up the second guy line. The idiot was tightening the first one. Well, at that point, you've got a 30-foot tower held by a half-inch bolt. How long is it going to stay up with somebody 120 feet away pulling on a cable? Bolt snapped and down it came, you know. Well, the Lord used that to get me back doing what I was called to do in the first place. I forgot to bring in my juice. Okay, anyway, I want to read these last verses. For as many of you, in verse 27 of the third chapter of Genesis, have been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ. Well, baptism is when Christ died, we died. That's spirit baptism. When Christ arose, we arose. When we arose with the Spirit of God in us. So we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so there's no sectarianism in Christianity. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. You know, I don't care whether you own a dozen slaves or 400 slaves. You know, you're not one whit better than they are. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I say that the heir, now think about this in terms of the book of James. Galatians stands in contradistinction to the way that James is ordinarily interpreted. But once we understand what the very first verse says, James unto the 12 tribes of the diaspora, you know, it says scattered abroad. Well, the Jews of the diaspora. Go back to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and you find out why the Jews were to be scattered amongst the Gentile nations of the world. Because of unbelief. Because of false worship. And they worshiped every god under the sun. Because it's more fun worshiping them than it was worshiping the true and living God. Because, you know, the true and living God, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and your neighbor as yourself. That's all 10 commandments in 2. Okay? That's what Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew. So, can we do that? No, we don't have the capacity to do it. We have a sin nature. And so, anyone, the Jews said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Did any Jew ever keep the law? And I'm excluding the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God who became a Jew or became a man by the virgin birth, so he wasn't born with the sin nature of Adam. But God has made of one blood all of the families of the earth, and therefore sin is transmitted through the blood, and we're related to Adam by blood. But the blood that flows in our Lord's veins came from his father, just as the blood that flows in our veins comes from our Father. So we're born dead in trespasses and sin. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. See? So Jesus could do the law, and he's the only person who ever did. And so people who say, well, if you don't keep the law, you lose your salvation, they don't know what they're talking about. They've never read the third chapter of Galatians. You know, and I'm going to read the 4th chapter so that we can pick up a few things there. I've got about, we started late, so I've got about 10 and a half minutes. I apologize for keeping you over. You know, we're going to have to get here earlier, folks, because we're starting 15 minutes late. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So, one day you may be the Prince of England or the King of England, but you're raised as a prince under tutors and governors, and they can discipline you and they can educate you. Okay? So even though you're Lord of all, you're raised as what? Just an ordinary person. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. That is, we thought like the world. And we thought we could be like God by the lives that we lived. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. That is, God had to become a man through the virgin birth so that He could be both God and man. For what purpose? To redeem them that were under the law, that we, you and me, might receive the adoption of sons. One day we're going to be adopted into the family of God and be on an equal basis with the Son. That's mind-blowing. You know, when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And because we're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, what? What do we call God? We don't pray, oh, infinite, eternal one, you know, as these dudes do when they're trying to be very eloquent, praying, they write their prayers out and read them, you know, and trying to be very eloquent. No, we say, Papa, Father, Daddy, Dada, you know, words that we use from as our age varies. You know, there was a time when my father was Dada. There was a time when he was Dad, you know, because, you know, you grow up. So in our relationship with the Lord, we don't use infant names anymore if we have any spiritual growth, but there was a time when we called God Papa. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then what? An heir. And what kind of heir? Of God through Christ. You know. So we're through Christ, we have all that was promised to for keeping the law is ours by inheritance. You know. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled the law on our behalf. That's amazing. See? We don't have it by personal conduct. So he goes on, howbeit then when ye knew not God, and there was that period of time, ye did service unto them which by nature are not God. You know, that is, we served other gods. And in the ancient world, serving those other gods required having sexual intercourse with prostitutes and all kinds of goodies. Those religions were very carnal and very attractive to men and to the women too. Okay. But now, after that you've known God, or rather you're known of God, notice what he says to us. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? What is weak and beggarly? For you and me to try to keep the law to please God. That's weak and beggarly. Because we already have an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, filed, and fadeth not away. So he says to them, you observe days and months and seasons and years, is the way it should have been translated. And he wasn't afraid of them, he was afraid for them. These Gentiles that he had gone to and preached the gospel, and they were so thankful they would have plucked out their eyes and given them to him. Because Paul, after he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, more than likely had a disease of the eyes known as ophthalmia, and his bodily presence was contemptible. Why? Because he would have matted pus on his cheeks if he didn't constantly cleanse himself. And so, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You've not injured me at all in attacking me. He said, I understand it. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel to you at the first, and my temptation or my trial, which was in my my flesh, you didn't despise me for it, nor rejected me, but received me as what? As a messenger from God. That's what the word angel means. Even as Christ Jesus, you received me as if I were the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore then, where then is the blessedness you spake of? In other words, he's speaking to these Jews who now, or these Gentiles who now want to be under law because of the misteaching of the Judaizers. And he's reminding of them of what they were like when they first trusted Christ as Savior. And from time to time, we need a reminder. If it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And believe me, that can happen. It can happen in families, and it can happen with individual believers. You know, somebody gets puffed up in themselves. They zealously affect you. Oh, they love to boast over the fact that you're a convert to them. But not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. That is, they want to exclude you from their presence in order that you would beg to be in their presence. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it's good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. In other words, walk like he used to walk when I was there. Okay? My little children, and I want to finish this, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. In other words, we're not going to actually be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're judicially like him now, but we still have a sin nature because we're still in this body of flesh. And blood flows through our veins, which gives us a sin nature. So he says to them, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. That is, what I'm hearing, you're not living the way you lived when I was with you because you recognize you were saved by grace, but now you're trying to do this and trying to do that to keep yourself safe. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, that was Ishmael, the other by a free woman, that was Isaac. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. That is, Abraham went into her at the instigation of Sarah, and he certainly didn't refuse to have sex with his maid, or with her maid. You know, and he produced a child of the flesh. And when you read about Ishmael, he's a wild man, you know. And when you look at the Arabs, you know, not all of them. I've had Arab brothers in Christ. They trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. But those that operate according to Muhammad are indeed crazy. They're spiritually crazy is what I mean by it, you know. Because they've accepted the lie of the devil in another form. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, that is, God promised to give that son, long before Abraham went into Hagar. Which things are an allegory, that these historical events actually happened, but they produced a spiritual lesson. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, that is under law, that's Ishmael, you know, which enters to bondage, which is Hagar. They left the H off, but in Greek there's a little curved line which gives a vowel, an H sound. So we're talking about Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. In other words, Hagar is, you can have a relationship with God by the life that you live. No, you can't. but that's what it she represents. Okay. And she's in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, that is the new Jerusalem, is free, which is the mother of us all. That is, we are free because of Jesus Christ. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren. Who was barren? That was Sarah. Rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry. That means pray. That thou travailest not. For the desolate, or the abandoned wife, hath many more children than she which hath an husband. You know, or the barren wife, I should say. I'll get it right. The desolate or the abandoned wife, that's Hagar, has many more children than she which has a husband. Who's that? That's Sarah. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of what? Promise. We're not children of God because of the lives we live. Get it? Through your thick heads. No, not you. You're well taught. You know. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. And it's going on today. The Arabs lob missiles into Israel every day. You know, they hate the Jews, but they're brothers. See? And if you read the book of Obadiah, you'll find that ultimately they'll be observed. They'll be, they will be judged for it. Okay. Yeah, that doesn't mean that every single Arab will be judged for it, because they can be saved by grace through faith, the same as you and me. But if they believe the lie of Mohammed, or if they believe they have an inheritance with God because they were born to Ishmael, they're on the wrong track. Okay? Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman. That's Hagar. And her son. That's Ishmael. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free. Who's the son of the free? Well, in actuality, it's Jesus Christ. You know, we're actually talking about Isaac, who was a type of Christ. He was offered on the mount, came from the mount alive again. So then, brethren, we're not of the children of the bondwoman or of law, but of the free. You know, stand fast, therefore, where? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. Think of this nation. This nation was born in freedom. And the majority of the Democratic Party today wants to be under socialism. Look how socialism works in the rest of the world. It never works. Why? Because man has a sin nature. You always have a ruling class over everyone else. And people haven't learned it. They haven't learned it in the spiritual realm, and they haven't learned it in the physical realm. But we're told to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Those people that run to the book of James and try to make it for Christians are not standing fast in the liberty. They're standing in bondage. Those people that want to prove that they're Christians by the lives that they live are in bondage to the law. Yeah. And they're lost. We're to stand fast in the liberty that's in Christ and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. Pray that you bless it to our hearts as we go forward studying the word of God. No matter where we study, we know it's the same truth everywhere, and we need to emphasize that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.